Boston Celtics casually stroll to a win over the Golden State Warriors, and we've got a special crossover Locked On Celtics, Locked On Warriors reaction podcast. Millie's, let's go! Rainy J's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. This is like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. In just a second, you'll hear my podcast with Wes Goldberg of Locked On Warriors. He is a beat writer covering the team for the Mercury News. We get into the game and a bunch of all-star stuff. It kind of goes down this road. It's wild. But before I get to that, I realize that we didn't really talk about Jason Tatum making the all-star team. So I want to quickly shout out Jason Tatum. Congratulations for being named a reserve to the All-Star team. Very well deserved. Jaylen Brown also deserved to make it. I mean, their numbers are almost exactly the same, but Jason's averaging a couple more points and a little bit more here and there, and Jaylen's having a better shooting season so far, and each pick one. I mean, if it was Jaylen instead of Jason, I wouldn't have been able to argue that either, but it's Jason instead of Jaylen. So unfortunate for Jaylen Brown, but congratulations to Jason Tatum. Like I said, can't argue one way or the other. Maybe some people are going to argue. I think they were very even this year, and it sucks that one doesn't make it. Just keep an eye out if there is an injury replacement. I'm sure Jaylen Brown is going to be on the short list if somebody can't play in this game. So again, unfortunate for Jaylen Brown, but he'll, I'm sure, use it as motivation moving forward. And a real nice moment for Jason Tatum. You can see exactly how excited he was. And, you know, Jaylen, I think, is going to have his moments with the All-Star game as well. I don't think this was a one-time thing. I think Jaylen's going to be very good, and he'll make plenty of All-Star games over the course of his career. So let's just hope that that's the case. And who knows between now and the All-Star game if something changes. So that's my quick thoughts on that. And now, recorded live at the Garden. So a little bit of background noise potentially here. But it's me, it's Wes Goldberg with the post-game podcast. Here we are in the Boston Garden, a joint post-game Locked On Celtics, Locked On Warriors podcast. John Corral is here from Mass Live, joined by Wes Goldberg. What's going on, man?
Where just do you work now? The Mercury News.
The Mercury News.
Yeah, Wes Goldberg, Mercury News, host of Locked On Warriors. We are at the Boston Garden right now, and it kind of is just, it's been routine for both of us. Your team that you cover won, my team that I cover lost, and yes, we're just running through the motions, you know? I feel bad for you, honestly, like to have to cover a team that's winning all this so much.
I mean,
I'm glad
it sucks.
On my first year on the beat that they have officially decided to lose, because it's way more fun that way.
Yeah, I mean, you get all this Warriors angst. That's new. That's fun.
It's not really that new. it's a different breed of angst.
So the final score here is 119-104 Boston. After the game, I wrote the recap on Mass Live. I described it as a casual win for the Boston Celtics, kind of like a casual blowout. Like, they just kind of came out and were like, good enough. Like, we're going to try. And then I was like, all right, we're going to relax. Like, oh, we need to try a little bit more. Okay. And then they just did that enough. And especially, I think, later in the third quarter, fourth quarter, when they realized that they were hot from three, that they just kind of, like, backed off. And like if you're running a race, you just kind of run fast enough, like, you know, when Usain Bolt would run just sort of fast enough to qualify. Like, I felt like that was the type of effort that the Celtics gave, which, to be clear, not great,
right?
You know, that's not how they want to play, but I think this was just a good team doing just enough to beat a bad team.
Yeah, worst team in the league by record, and they would tell you that they're not the worst team in the league, despite their record. But, you know, for the recap, it's interesting to hear your perspective of the recap you wrote, because the recap that I wrote for MercuryNews.com is it was basically they came out. It wasn't like a lack of effort, but they just came out in just sort of this weary mode. I mean, Draymond Green had that weird turnover in the first quarter. Yep. Where he just dribbled the ball inbounds. I'm like, this isn't, we're not talking about like 19-year-old Jordan Poole here. We're talking about Draymond Green, who is like basketball IQ dude, and he just dribbled the ball inbounds.
Who did that earlier this season? Was it LeBron?
LeBron, I think. I think it may have been LeBron.
He took the ball out of bounds, just dribbled it,
just
walked right in.
They're too smart for their own good, I guess. So that's kind of from the Warriors' perspective. It just felt like, listen, we walk into this game, losers of 14 in the last 15, and that just wears on a team, and it just sort of felt like they walked into this arena knowing that they had no chance in hell. It sort of felt like that, and after the game, they were talking about, oh, yeah, they gave like a pretty good effort at the end, but you mentioned there, it's like the Celtics did just enough, and I kind of felt that. I was like, this kind of feels like what the Warriors used to do, where they would just do enough to win by 10.
Right. Like, if the Celtics played a game like they played against the Lakers a couple weeks ago.
They won 1-30.
They would have easily, everybody would have sat down for the fourth quarter. You would have had, 12 Javante Green minutes, but a lot of Romeo Langford minutes that Celtics fans are, like, frankly, looking for.
Some Romeo Langford minutes. I was a little disappointed.
I know. I think a lot of fans are like, come on, let's get a little Romeo in there. So,
little Romeo, shout out.
From a Celtics perspective, I liked seeing Gordon Hayward come out. I thought Hayward and Jaylen Brown were aggressors early on in the first quarter. They both, it was Gordon Hayward had 15 in the first quarter, four of six. So he finished the game with 25 points. 15 of those came in the first quarter. So he comes out, he sets the tone. 6 of 6 free throws in the first quarter, which were the only 6 free throws he shot during the game. And I guess that kind of goes with the casual theme. Not that he's one to kind of back off, but like he did enough, started the Celtics off, and then the other guys, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart later on, did their thing. So
it was a little bit of duck, duck, goose, right? It was, and that is, again, that is sort of to me a symptom of what winning teams do. It's when you have like these star-laden teams, and we now know that Celtics have several all-stars on their roster.
Right.
But that's what you can do, right? You could be Gordon Hayward and be like, you know what? You got 12 good minutes, buddy, and then I'm done. And then Marcus Smart can take it from here. Jason Tatum can take it here. Jaylen Brown can have a nice little half a quarter or whatever. And that's what you got to do. And the Warriors, on the flip side, have just D'Angelo Russell, who's playing pretty great basketball lately because he sort of has to. And that's it. I don't think anybody on the Warriors even scored in double digits by the start of the fourth quarter. It might have been one other player. But that's been really it for the Warriors, and it was kind of an interesting dynamic to see that. The Warriors walked into this game having played Philadelphia last, and it was a little bit of a similar situation, but they gave a much better effort, I think, against Philadelphia. They executed on more of their game plan against the Sixers than the Celtics, and I think what gave them a problem, interestingly enough, Philadelphia has size, obviously we know this, but Boston has size plus versatility. And I think that really, really bothered the Warriors. They were able to close them out on the three-point line. They got in their passing lanes. It kind of just completely disrupted what is already the worst offense in the league and forced a lot of early turnovers. So I think all those early turnovers plus Gordon Hayward's quick start basically just put the game in the bag after the first 12 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I thought it was – I forget what it was. It was 7 turnovers in the first quarter for 10 points for the Celtics. That's when they're at their best. And I think once they realized that they had that kind of in their back pockets, they're like, all right, let's just turn it up when we need to. The Celtics have gotten in a lot of trouble doing that with bad teams this year. They've lost to bad teams. They have a bad loss against the Wizards. The difference is the Warriors, like you alluded to earlier, the Warriors didn't have that thing where it's like, all right, you know what? We're not good right now, but we're walking into this building. We're catching this team. First game back after a road trip. They've got my biggest fear, Saturday game against Philly, coming back after a big win in Miami, 3 tough games, emotional after the Kobe stuff, that they were going to come in and overlook this game. And if the Warriors maybe had come in and put that real effort into it, then maybe this game would have been different. Yeah. They were up 7-1. To start the game.
Yep.
Like, this could have been another Celtics, like, disappointing effort. And then the Celtics turned it on. The Warriors just didn't respond.
Yeah. It was actually surprising because the Warriors have, and they kind of take pride in this, like they get up for the big games, but they also play down to their opponents quite a bit, which is strange because I guess technically they're always playing up against their opponent, but you know, you kind of know what you mean, what they mean when they say that, and they have, for most of this season, kind of came out and played well in these games. There's been a couple of the times where it's just been like this, where it's just, and look, the Warriors, I don't want to say there was a complete lack of effort. There were times in the second half where they got it down to 7 or 8 or 9 sure. points at a time, but it was, again, it was just one of those things where Boston was like, okay, like, hit a couple threes, bang, bang, we're up 14 again. Like, not a big deal. And so I think for that, I think that is just the most frustrating thing right now going on for Golden State, is that they know that they could do certain things, and even if they, when they execute well, like, it's the complete opposite of Boston, right? Like, they could just sort of rest on their laurels a little bit. They don't have to execute 100%. They don't have to. They don't have to come out and put together an A-plus ball game, and they could still win. Mm-hmm. The Warriors don't have that leeway anymore, and I think that's been a big adjustment for Steve Kerr and Draymond Green specifically.
Yeah.
And that to me is the most jarring thing, is that everything has to go right and then some in order to win some of these games.
Yeah. You know, I'm interested about the Draymond Green thing. We're going to talk about that. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk about Draymond afterwards. Before we do that, I want to talk about MyBookie, because MyBookie's got you covered when it comes to any of the betting that you want to do. Super Bowl's around the corner here. And, you know, we're in the heat, in the middle of the basketball season. All-Star Game, I'm sure there's plenty of betting to do on that. So you got to go to MyBookie.ag for all of your betting needs between football, NBA, start of college basketball. That's a thing that's happening now. It's time to get off the sideline, get into the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little to win a lot, go ahead and play a parlay. You can bet a couple of the big favorites this week, and parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. If you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing. Go to MyBookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. And if you join right now, you're basically going to win right away, because they give you, they match your deposit halfway all the way up to a grand. So if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with.
Wow.
That's an automatic win on a bet right there. So you don't even have to do anything to get that $1,000. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Before the break, we were talking about Draymond. He's obviously a very prideful guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's very difficult for him to be going through this, but I also, from the outside, feel like maybe he's just kind of embracing this and like, all right, it is what it is. It's a lost year. I'm going to enjoy my vacations. I'm going to enjoy my All-Star break. I'm going to enjoy getting to whatever tropical island I go to in April rather than in July.
Think Barbados.
Yeah. So is that something that's accurate? Or, I mean, he didn't really seem to do a ton in this game.
That's in this game, or in the last game, or the game before that. It's just he is not playing his hardest. I think that's pretty clear. I think we've all watched what Draymond Green does. And look, Draymond Green is now at the point of his career, and he's an old 29 man.
Yeah,
and he kind of has gotten to the stage where what the Warriors had with Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston the last couple of years, where it's, I'll show up for the playoffs, but don't ask for too much during the first 82 games. And the Warriors are not going to be in the playoffs this year. And you might have thought, okay, well, that means he could kind of put out that effort right now. But his minutes are down for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
This is a year right now where the Warriors are without Steph Curry for most of the season. They're going to be without Klay Thompson, most likely for none of the for the entire season. They won't have him.
Right.
And so they're in the garage. They're parked,
yeah,
right, with the hood over. And Draymond Green's still out there.
Yeah.
Adding miles to his odometer, and they want to make sure that that balance doesn't too out of whack. And I think we already see more wear and tear with Draymond than we do those other two guys.
Sure.
And so that just makes him a little bit more mindful of it. And I think Draymond's mindful of that too. I mean, if he's going to go out and do the whole 100% Draymond Green thing every night for no good reason, then he's going to have a lot more wear and tear than he ought to going into next season when they want to return to contention.
Yeah, I almost feel like it's like load management without actual load management. He's just like, he's not playing for
faux
anything.
Load management.
Yeah, right.
Faux management.
He's not playing for anything.
Right.
He's not playing for stats. He never is, was a stats guy anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So he's just kind of staying in shape.
And he's doing this thing, and it's so interesting. Like, I'll watch these games, and I've never seen this from Draymond. I mean, you see a little bit, but not, like, to this degree, where he'll just stand at the top of the key and just start barking out orders. I mean, he's the professor in a room of a bunch of, like, preschoolers, basically, with this how young this roster is. I mean, he'll just stand, just standing, not doing anything himself, but yelling at, like, the other four players, you do this, go to that spot, hey, you cut now.
Yeah.
Just, like, directing traffic. And it's just, like, it's so such a weird thing, and I think, you know, it's the complete opposite of what the Celtics are, which is this whirring gears of motion, which is exactly what the Warriors used to be. And now you've just got Draymond Green, who used to be this ball movement hub, and now he's just sort of like, he's in teaching mode. And I think you see that behind the scenes. I think he's doing that in practice, shoot arounds, and even on the court so much. And it's an interesting version of Draymond Green, because he's always been sort of like, quote unquote, emotional leader guy.
Sure.
And now he's got to go like from emotional leader to just substitute teacher, not trying to lose his, you know what I mean?
Like, sure. Yeah.
That's where he's at.
I mean, look, he's going to, I don't know if he's going to get to the Hall of Fame or anything like that. We'll see what ultimately his career ends up and how people judge it. He's going to be such an interesting case. And this is going to be a season that people say, what are you nuts? Of course he's not.
Right.
Because look at what he was. If he was a Hall of Famer, he'd be carrying the Warriors in games like this. But I don't think, I actually kind of think it's the opposite. I look at these games and I think it really shows what specific value that Draymond has. And it's almost like, you know, everybody says situation matters. I say that all the time. With the players that he's had around him, the teammates that he's had, he's been the perfect guy.
Yeah.
At his ability, the things that he does at an elite level, mm-hmm. the passing, the vision, the defense,
yep.
that's perfect for Steph and Clay and when you had KD and all those guys. In that situation, he becomes elite.
Yep.
And he was never going to step up and be like a monster, you know, oh, well, now I get to be 20-10 guy. Like, that was never going to be his thing. He's not a scorer.
He doesn't want to be that.
Right.
And I think this year really underscores that. And I think a lot of people wonder, like, well, you know, all these guys are out. Can he get up to 15 points a game?
Or, yeah.
You know, start taking a few more threes. And he's just like, no, I don't want to do that. Like,
right.
That's not what he wants to do. He wants to do those things that you were saying. Pass the ball, high IQ, you know, play great defense, rebound the ball, push in transition. That's all he wants to do. And that's what he's trying to do with these guys. And they can't. They're just not on his level, like intellectually or, you know, from a speed of the game standpoint. And I think that's been the frustrating thing for him.
You mean to tell me that Damian Lee is not going to – I don't know.
Damian Lee's nice. He's been okay. He's an NBA player, man. He got converted from a two-way contract earlier in the year. He's one of those guys that – and it's like he's starting for them. And he was starting for them as a two-way guy and then ran out of two-way days. And he was just on ice for a week. And he's one of these guys who have found and is going to be on the roster next year, but he's obviously not going to be your starting shooting guard next year.
Right.
He'll probably be your ninth guy, and they're asking all these ninth, eighth, you know, type of guys to play like twos, threes, and four type of guys.
Right. So that's just the Warriors' lot in life right now. So we were kind of joking around. The Celtics writers are like, I can't believe who is starting for the Warriors right now. But anyway, so, I mean, it is what it is. Like, it's a year off.
It really
is a year off. Because, you know that next year you've got Steph and Clay coming back.
Right.
And the entire dynamic changes. So it almost feels like no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, well.
Tell
me
about it. My page views are way down. And it is just sort of this weird gap year. The weird thing is that they just opened up Chase Center in San Francisco.
Yeah, sure.
And that.
Which is an amazing building.
You like it?
Oh, it's just.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a technical, like, just.
It's cool. It's a $1.6 billion monster of an office building that has a basketball court in the middle.
Wait,
of it.
You don't. What do you think? You don't seem to be too high on it.
No, I love it. I think it's phenomenal. I love the location. I'm really, really. I spend my entire life there basically because their practice facility is also there. So I'm always at that one building.
Okay.
And I'm always in San Francisco because I live in San Francisco. I live in the city. So I'm always there. and they just don't have any food options around there. But this is really
bad radio.
So.
No, it's true. That's it. Now, this is like, you know what? People love this inside stuff. But you know what? It's true.
It is.
It's like there is nothing to eat around there.
Because this is, so they open up the arena and there's before everything else is ready around it. So they own the land. They own the property. They own all the restaurants around there that are going to be there. But
the team's going to own all that stuff?
The ownership group owns everything. And so they're going to open up next year. I was talking to Joe Lacob the other day, and he was telling me, like, yeah, next year we're going to have Michael Mina is opening up a restaurant. Some, you know, famous steak dude is opening up a restaurant. I forget his name. Tyler Florence, if that rings a bell for anybody. He's going to open up a restaurant there. They're going to have a bunch of new stuff. And I'm like, as long as there's a place to get a burger, I don't care what it is. Like, you can open up an In-N-Out, I'm fine.
Right.
It doesn't matter. But apparently there's going to be a whole bunch of new stuff, so I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, hey, look, if people are planning on going out to the Chase Center, now it's a little inside information.
Now you know.
I do like the location, right on the water. It was pretty cool. It was really cool to be out there.
It's beautiful. What do you think about this All-Star Game situation? I know, you know, the Celtics are going to be involved in it. The Warriors are not. But you saw some of the breakdown of these new All-Star rules. Let's just touch on that a little
bit. Oh, the All-Star rules?
Yeah, this new. So
I think people overreacted horribly to it.
I think they overreacted because they were so confused by it.
Yeah.
Like, it was maybe the worst explainer ever. They should, like, the NBA should have hired Vox to write an explainer for them.
Right.
It was pretty terrible.
It was.
I had to read it 20 times, and I think I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm not like the smartest guy, but I had a hard time figuring it out.
At the ultimate takeaway is they've really only changed the fourth quarter. It's the winner of each of the first three quarters gets like $100,000 to donate to their charity. So Team Giannis and Team LeBron each pick a charity. The team that wins that quarter, the first quarter, gets $100,000 to go to their charity. And then same thing second and the third. In the fourth quarter, they take the cumulative score, whoever's in the lead, and they add 24 points to that number.
Right, in honor of Kobe Bryant.
In honor of Kobe Bryant. And then the first team to that score wins the game. So the example they use is if it's 100-95, then the target score is
124.
So the team that's in the lead is now, that's like, you have that advantage. So that incentivizes teams to play harder in the first, second, third quarters. First of all, to win money for your charity.
Right.
Second of all, to not be behind too much because you, ultimately in the fourth quarter, guys start to get competitive.
Right.
So I think it's fine. I like the target score thing.
I think it's cool. This is an idea that they've experimented with in general of trying to shorten NBA games, which I still think that they need to do. And so I think that's a fun kind of rollout of this theory in a game that doesn't matter at all.
Sure.
And is always way too long in the first place. And I would have a very hard time imagining that this fourth quarter is going to last 10 to 12 minutes.
Right.
If they all have to do is score 24 points in an all-star game where all they do is shoot threes and play no defense.
Right. But then they're going to start playing a little bit of defense, I think.
It could get interesting.
I mean, it's not going to be playoff defense, but
right.
I think it's going to be interesting. You think that's something that could actually like be implemented somewhere,
like in like a real game?
Yeah.
They would do it in the G League.
The
first.
G League first, and yeah, then, for sure. Or the WNBA.
It's kind of crazy of an idea, but I have read about this idea over the last couple of years, and I don't hate it, and I'm really interested to see what it would be. I am very much in favor of shortening these games. I think they're too long.
Okay.
I think you need to eliminate a lot of these timeouts. I think that these dead ball things are ridiculous. I think that free throws should just be one shot instead of two. I hate watching free throws. It should just be one shot for 2 points. Every other shot is for 2 points from that spot until it's easier, and then it's only worth 1 point.
Interesting.
I just think, so yeah, I'm not like complete anarchy right now. I'm like, let's just completely tear apart the rules of the game. But you know what? It's an all-star game. It's boring. It's not a real basketball game anyway. So just like, let's get crazy. I would be down if they changed the rules of the all-star game every single year into just like the newest, craziest idea. We should do fan submissions like Doritos makes their commercials. We should do that for all-star game rules.
All right, let's take a break here. I'm fascinated. This is how good this game was. I'm done talking about it.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing else to talk about this game. Like, okay, Marcus Smart, for the Celtics perspective, Marcus Smart had a good game. He shot well. Marcus Smart shot 50% from three.
Against the worst team in the league.
Right. Congratulations. Jaylen Brown did a good job. Kemba Walker still struggling with his shot. That's it. The big, like, that's as much effort as the Celtics gave and that's as much effort as I'm going to give to this game in this podcast. This is much more interesting. So we'll take a break, come back. We'll talk about this in a couple minutes.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
So I'm really fascinated with this idea of like, okay, I wouldn't mind the shorter games. I mean, now selfishly from a beat writer perspective, I mean, 8 o'clock start, I'm sitting, it's midnight here.
Yeah.
And I've still got work to do.
Right.
And so like, yeah, it'd be nice to not go to bed at 3 a.m. on a game night.
Sure.
I'm not so worried about the free throws. I don't think you need to take one for 2 points, but that's something that they're doing.
It would cut a lot of time out. I mean, you spend an average of, I think, 60 seconds at the free throw line. You cut that in half. And if it's a Rockets game, I mean, you're taking, you know,
right.
an hour off the game, basically.
Well, I think they should also be, like, they need to fix the rules. Because this freedom of movement, I like the freedom of movement for the most part, but like now it goes too far because now you can't touch anybody, and there are a ton of fouls being called in general. So maybe if you allow guys to be touched a bit on the perimeter,
yeah.
I think if you,
how about this? Why don't you have a cap on foul on whistles blown? Like, if you're a referee, you're only allowed to blow your whistle 5 times.
Oh yeah, then I
and
can't.
That's it. And then like by the fourth quarter, it's just
a free-for-all madness.
Anarchy, yeah.
Yeah. Marcus Smart is in
on that.
Because then he's going to be like a wrestler pulling like brass knuckles out of his shorts. Be like, let's go, baby.
This game would have been a lot more fun between Marcus Smart and Draymond Green having no whistles.
Like all right, guys, whistles. It's like the purge for basketball.
Exactly. Fourth quarter purge. Let's go. I think there's a few ways that they can shorten the games. I'm just more in general a fan of just shorter things. I think football games are way too long. Baseball games, obviously, way too long.
Yeah, sure.
Think of what you want about Kanye West, but his newest album was like 27 minutes long. I was like, perfect. I can just digest this immediately and have an opinion on it. And that's kind of what I want with these games. Like, let's just digest it immediately. There's 82 of them. We don't need to take each one of these. So, like, not every one of these just needs to be a memorial to basketball. Like, let's just get in and out, man. It's just like, let's.
No, it's interesting.
We know who's going to be better. Like, let's go. Like, I don't think that'll make a dramatic change on who wins the NBA title if you made these games shorter.
No, it's true. I think you can start. I think I like more gradual changes, you know, because I'm older than you, I think. I think you're what, 20-something?
28.
Okay. First of all, fuck you.
Yep.
Okay.
That's my fault, I guess.
That's your fault for being almost 20 years younger than me. So, so I have like a little bit more old school. Like you're younger, and this is, I think, honestly, I'm not going to pull you millennials and shake my fist, but it is a generational thing.
100%.
I do think younger people, the younger fans, they want a quicker game. Okay. Well, you know what? Eventually, I'm going to go away. And you're going to be the target demographic.
Right.
So we do have to tailor the game to who's next and who's enjoying it and growing the audience. So fine. I can accept that we need to make the game quicker. I like a little bit more gradual change, like 8 seconds to shoot a free throw and legit 8 seconds.
Right.
Like don't give Giannis 12 seconds. Like if you can't in 8 seconds stand at the free throw line,
you lose the point.
Like forget it. Like,
agreed.
Just, if you can't figure it out, if you can't figure out a free throw routine throughout the course of your offseason and life that makes it quicker.
Boy, Jason Kidd would have gotten called. He would have missed so many free throws.
Just enough. Like that, the free throw line, the free throw is a very obvious target. I'm not a biggest fan of that 1 for 2, but okay, it's kind of going in the G League. And I've heard people, I haven't watched enough G League to know, like have a strong opinion.
I've watched a lot more G League than I plan this year.
People that I know were opposed to that idea or not high on that idea have come around. So,
I mean, if you're a good shooter, you're going to shoot your same percentage no matter what. That's kind of the idea.
Sure,
you're just like, instead of Shaq shooting like 50% from the line because he just makes one, you know, luckily, he's probably going to be shooting 30% from the line. But big deal, like
right.
So, that's something I think. But in general, like your idea of just like, hey, let's hold, like let's like actually enforce the rules we already have, like a 30-second timeout ought to be 30 seconds and not 2 minutes. Things like that. But they've also been trying to do that for a long time. It just doesn't work.
I think, like, my first thought is, let's just shave off these seconds off the periphery where there's a little too much leeway. When guys are checking in, like, the whole, oh, he's checking in, quick, get this guy. Like, no. Like, you've got a certain window to check a guy in. And if you don't hit it, then I'm sorry. Like, you can't be, like, playing that game of, you know, just check a guy in. He's got this much time. Be at the scoreboard. Be at the scorer's table with your – take your stuff off. Unwrap whatever you're going to unwrap and be ready to come in the game when we call it. When the foul is called, signal the foul, the ref. Get the guy to the line. You've got 5 seconds or whatever it is to get to the line and shoot. And you got 8 seconds once you get the ball or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's enough time.
So here's the thing about that. I hear you. I agree with you. It's never going to happen. I think that I've actually referenced this before. There's a productivity trick. I'm like a productivity guru reader. Like,
okay.
I read all that crap. And one of the things is, what's the one thing that you could do to just fix everything on your to-do list? And what you're suggesting is, like, wrangling all, like, every player and figuring out how to make everybody a more efficient person. I just don't think it's ever going to happen. And my thing is, let's just make one drastic change to just lop off, like, 12 minutes of game time.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? I say, let's just get rid of the fourth quarter. Hockey doesn't have it. Like, let's just, I don't know. Short, like, why do we have 12 minutes? It's a weird number. Like, let's just make it 10. I'm like, what's the difference?
You know, like, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Like, 10-minute quarters to, like, bring it back down. I don't know.
20-minute halves. Go college basketball style. Like, I just, like if we could just have one solution, just be like, bop, done. Like, look, I don't think the game time is incredibly, like, I think we've kind of gone overboard on, like, or I at least have about, like, how much the game time bothers me. Would I like to get out of an NBA game? If it's a 7:30 tip, would I like to be out of there before midnight? Sure. Would I rather just, like, be in and out in 48 minutes and be drinking beers by, like, 11:30?
Sure.
Absolutely. But it's, you know, probably not ever going to happen.
I mean, look, the fact is that there are sponsors and things that we want to happen quicker, more quickly.
Yes.
They're not going to, because it costs money.
Yep.
And, you know, I want to shorten a timeout. I want to take away a timeout. We don't need this many timeouts.
Yep. And if you start shortening the game in, like, the middle of the actual game, now you're hitting, like, the vendors and you're hitting, like, all
right.
That stuff. But as far as the sponsors go, like, if they're worried about not having enough airtime on an NBA game, they could just join the Lockdown Podcast Network.
There you go.
Just make their money tenfold.
But, like, things like replays. They should, if there's going to be a replay, a review, there should
they
just.
Yeah, I get that. The coaches thing is stupid. Just that.
I think that's going to go away. I think that's
that
going to go away.
I think that's a one and done.
I think that's going to go away. But, like, everything should be reviewed off-site. If there's something, people, every game should have an official watching to say, okay, this might be reviewed. Let's kind of start to rewatch that.
The best idea I've ever heard on replay, and this goes across all sports, find a neutral site sports bar. So if it was this game, okay, Boston and San Francisco, two teams based in Boston and San Francisco, find a sports bar in Milwaukee or just, like, in the middle of the country, Kansas.
Yeah.
And just pull that sports bar. What do you guys think?
This is I like it.
And then and just a round of applause and, like, they're, like, that sports bar, and just run with that. Like, just, and then we're just moving on. And
I didn't realize you were this radical.
I am. These are ideas that work, though.
You're, like, sitting here, button down. You get this nice little suit on.
Yeah, I got the Mr. Rogers.
Yeah,
thing
you
happening.
Get a very conservative, cannot, like, oh. Just no button down. Like,
yeah.
You are just, like, burn it all down, man. You're just ready to, like, get rid of everything.
I'm an ends justify the means kind of guy.
I don't think game time is a tremendous problem.
It's not.
I get it.
Only when the game tonight sucks do we make it into a tremendous problem. This
right.
is sports radio at its finest.
I would like to have perhaps once it's a 30-point game running time.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's the obvious one. Jesus Christ. Yeah. This should have been over, you know, hours ago.
All right. Well, I mean, it's interesting things. You can always – what's your Twitter?
WC Goldberg.
Okay. And I'm at @RedsArmy_John. Tweet us your ideas. I'd love to hear more. Like, I want to hear the generational divide. I want to hear what people can – what do you think? Do you speed up the game? Do we need to speed up the game?
Slow it down, maybe.
Slow it down. Yeah, make it 4 hours.
Sure. Capture that baseball audience.
Yeah, yeah. All right. We'll leave it at that. I want to thank everybody for listening. Everybody who is, whichever podcast, whichever side of this you're on, Locked On Warriors, Locked On Celtics. Thanks, everybody, for listening, subscribing, 5-star ratings, good written reviews, sharing the podcast. Mm-hmm. And thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time here on the Locked On Podcast Network.